Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Bob and Kelly, we're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Luke at the Southern Bancorp studio in Laurel. We're glad you're with us wherever you're tuned in. We're going to be hearing from Nick Monastir a little later in the show. It's a name you're going to hear a lot now that baseball season is here. About to hook up with Dima Mixon, our go-to guy from the Student Prince and the campus of Southern Miss. But first, let me remind you about Dickey's Barbecue Pit. It is a great place to cater this weekend. Kelly, in case you want to cater my function, you feel free. I can give you the suite number and all that. You can have it delivered up there.
Bob, you are so kind. So kind to
think
of me.
Anything for you, Santa.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything for you. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, great place to cater your weekend events, no matter where on the campus and your home or your business, and just a wonderful place to take your family to dinner. It's always good, and we appreciate everything that those guys do for us. All right, let's get started. It's hard to believe, but it is 2 days away from opening day. So we want to go to our ace reporter from the Southern Miss campus and newspaper, Dima Mixon. And Dima, it's always good to have you on the Eagle Hour. How are you?
Hey guys. How y'all doing? Always good to be back on. Thanks for having me on. I'm standing outside right now. I'm sitting outside at Southern Miss right now just because of how gorgeous weather it is outside. And hopefully we can get a little bit of this weather this weekend because that would be pretty fun.
There you go. Now, Dima, before we went on the air, you confessed to us that you had never been to one of our clients, and that's Lenny's Sub Sandwich Shop on Hardy Street. Now, Dima, take this advice, okay? Get your best girl, take her down there, get you a big Philly cheesesteak sandwich, and you will just eat your way right into her heart. It is the best sandwich you can eat anywhere, Damon. Trust me on that.
All right, well, I'll let my fiance know, and I might take her over soon.
Yes. Bob has Valentine's date experience at Lenny's.
Yes, that's my Valentine's date was today.
And the only thing that would be different for me is it would be any girl.
You know, and two Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah, at least.
How much does she get? If there's two cheesesteaks ordered, how much does she actually get?
Oh, we're going Dutch treat, which is probably why.
That's why you never have a date.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Well, we've discovered that.
We won't get into the other reasons, really.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, it's always good to have you on the show. We're just 2 days away, and I know you keep a close ear to the baseball world there at Southern Miss, so first of all, just give us your expectations for the team, and if you were going to lend advice to our fan base, what would you tell them you think to expect early on in the year?
Yeah, of course. Well, first off, it is unbelievable, right? I mean, it feels like we were just walking off the field after the Tennessee Super Regional. We're already here again. I feel like I say that every single year. Obviously, 2 days away from the opening series, Friday at 4. I'd say advice for the fans, I would probably just say hold your expectations for a little bit. This is obviously six new pieces of the lineup for Friday's matchup. You're going to have six new faces who you haven't seen in the lineup ever. So it's going to take a minute for them to gel. I mean, I do think that they're obviously a lot better than the opponent with respect to Morris that they're playing this weekend. So I do feel like they'll be able to gel well this weekend. But as you get into some of the harder non-conference opponents, don't be shocked if it's a little harder for them to gel. And I think, like we talked about last time on the show, you know, it's normally like that. And you know, fans will be calling for Ostrander's job by February 30th at least. But But you got to give them some time, and they'll eventually hit their stride. Or this might be a team who hits their stride early in the season. You never know. It's kind of a that's kind of one of the things about this team is we really just don't know. There's so much unproven talent throughout the lineup that we really don't know, but we have expectations and we have predictions.
Keep us surprised of how soon that happens, Dima. I'm going to say it's not going to be the end of February before we see the first post demanding that Oz be fired.
I don't know. I won't speak to when it will happen, but I do think that next week against Missouri State, I think Missouri State's actually a pretty good ball club. They have some good hitting power, some good arms. So I think that Southern Miss might struggle in that series where before they might not struggle in that series. And then a couple of midweeks coming up. So I don't know about when the fans will start calling for the job. It might be in the fifth inning on Friday. You never know. It's still 0-0. So
you're right about
that. Zima, it looks like Zima. See, I've got the drink on my mind again. Yeah. Dima, when it looks like most of the positions are pretty well settled, how do you see first base and catcher shaken out ultimately?
Yeah, I think both positions are definitely up for grabs as far as throughout the season. But as far as starting on Friday, I really do think at first base, they're going to go with Matthew Russo. I think that's they're just going to go with the guy that they feel has been a part of the program, kind of has more of a veteran presence. And I think that it wouldn't be a position that would necessarily be, given to him almost, like that it's for certain for his for the rest of the season. And then as far as catcher, they got a lot of people there who really, really are in a good position for catcher. But I think that they're going to put Lawson Odom back there. When I talked to Coach Oz on our show a couple weeks ago, every single time we mentioned catcher, he's always talking about Lawson Odom. He's always talking about how great he is. And I went to the scrimmage on Monday, and it looked like practically the starting lineup that was on the gold team, and Lawson Odom was back there at catcher with Matt Cerisso at first.
There we go. Luke, get in here with Dima.
You mentioned in your preview article, Dima, that there's really six bats that they want to get in the lineup, and all those guys play in the outfield.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen before when Wilkes plays the field, you know, he can be injury prone sometimes. And so, you know, walk us through. I talked the other day to someone about, you know, Billy Butler. And I mean, with him and Gillespie, of course, with Wilkes, all those guys are double digit home run potential.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I would say Billy Butler's kind of a bat that they probably won't have in there on Friday. That they really, you know, in a perfect world, you'd want him in there just because of the power that he has. But you're correct in what I said in my preview. You know, Slade Wilkes has been playing some in left field, but you're right, where sometimes when they tried that in the past, it's kind of been a detriment to his injury status. And again, the scrimmage on Monday, I thought, really told us a lot, because it really felt like to me that they had the starting lineup out there because Gillespie was in left field and Wilkes was the DH, which to me kind of gave me the answer there. And then obviously you're not going to take Nick Monastir off in center field. Like you got to have Nick in there, and then you have to have Carson Pato in there. So they're kind of in a bind because some of their best bats are in the outfield. So I think you could see some switcheroo, such as maybe Wilkes does go to the outfield maybe on a Sunday or even a midweek, and then they bring Gillespie, give him a break, and they put in Billy Butler, the DH, something like that. I think that's very likely.
Give us we all, you know, shoe in Mazza and Oldham, probably Mazza Friday, Oldham Saturday. Give us your, you know, top two arms, three arms for Sunday, and if you don't name a certain guy as a starter, where will his role be, like an Armistead or a Sibley?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, again, I'm going to reference back to my preview article that's out on the site that y'all can go look at. But, yeah, I have Friday, Nico Mazza. I think they're going to want Mazza on Friday because of the velocity. And I think, obviously, Oldham, it's kind of a pitter-pat. Whoever's not on Friday is going to be on Saturday. I said Chandler Best is going to start on Sunday. Again, I feel don't quote me on that, but I feel like they're going to want a lefty presence in there. Somebody could give a little bit of velocity and give the opponent something else to look at. the reason I didn't have a Sivili or an Armstead as a starter on Sunday, first for Sivili, I think he would probably be the first person out of the bullpen on a Friday. So if you did throw him on a Friday, let's say, you know, Mazza had five, six innings, they normally hold the pitch count in the beginning of the season. So I feel like if Sivili can kind of go for three or four innings on Friday, he'd be good to go for a midweek start maybe. And then, obviously, Armstead coming on Saturday, be able to relieve him, sort of. So those are your first two arms out of the pen, no doubt. It's just, and maybe, you know, maybe Chandler Best, in my prediction, is wrong, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Sivili or Armstead be one the Sunday guy. I think it's really a toss-up between all three of them, but all three of them will have a crucial role in the bullpen.
Well, we can't wait. Dima, can you hang on, talk a little basketball with you if you got a few more minutes?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Dima Mixon from the Student Prince on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back, but I want to remind you, first of all, about our official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis of Hattiesburg. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. Coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom. It's located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, and it is beautiful. It is really going to be a nice addition to the community. Also, don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher. Tune in, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come, Nick Monastir, more from Dima Mixon. Lots to talk about. Don't go anywhere.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, let's get right back into it. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Miss Kathleen has all the baseball apparel you're going to need for opening weekend. Just be sure to tell her that Kelly Sanner said hello. That'll get her attention.
Yeah.
And that will not get you a discount, but it will be a nice thing for you to do. They're located on Hardy Street. You can shop them online at campusbookmart.com. Net.
She'll assume that you're wanting to go to the big and tall section.
Correct. Right. She'll lead you straight back up. Hey, talk about a show. Friday, 2-hour Eagle Hour from Pete Taylor Park.
Bob, nobody wants to be on that show.
Nobody. So
you don't, Kelly.
So what we had to settle for was Hill Denson, Scott Berry, John Cox, Jeremy McClain, Brian Dozier, and Daniel Stewart.
Proverbial who's who.
That is our lineup.
Of Southern Miss royalty.
That is baseball royalty there, my friend.
You're not kidding.
1 to 3 o'clock. Pete Taylor Park, hope you'll stop by, say hello to us. All right, Dima Mixon's with us. Dima, let's switch sports here for a minute because I know that you keep a close eye and cover them all. Basketball, everybody, tell me if this is a fair statement. What our basketball teams are doing right now is they're jockeying for position in the tournament. Because nobody in the Sun Belt is going to advance past the tournament unless they win the tournament. So the objective right now, am I wrong or right, is to get in that top four and get yourself in as good a position as possible to make a run in the tournament.
Of course. I think that's a very, very perfect way of looking at it. And even with all of the woes that Southern Miss has had over the past couple weeks, obviously uncontrollable, nothing that's really on them. A lot of injury stuff, and then obviously thoughts and prayers go out to the Ladner family, and we wish Coach Ladner nothing but well wishes on his recovery. But, yeah, I mean, they're still sitting there at number five with the number five seed, and you really want to get in there in the top four to get that double bye. It's just so crucial in any tournament to get two automatic wins where you don't even have to just lift a finger and – you know, you can be that South Alabama team from last season that knocked off Southern Miss as the number one seed. It's just an eight seed, you know. So, obviously, they didn't come into the double bye, but you can feel like you really feel like Southern Miss can do that. They've been able to beat the top notch of the Sun Belt opponents so far. And if you have a full full-strength Southern Miss team, you really feel like they have a chance to win it.
I mean, it looks like right now that Crap State's going to be one or two.
That would be App State.
Oh, correct. Sorry yeah, about okay. that. And Troy, it looks like those two have got one and two pretty much locked up, all right? But when you look at the rest of the Southern Miss schedule, Dima, you got two games with South Al. They're in the bottom third. You've got two games left with Louisiana, which is not in the bottom third, but Louisiana is going to be right in there fighting for that fourth position with Southern Miss. It's, to me, it's all going to come down to that two-game series, you know, with Louisiana. You sweep that, then you're sitting in pretty good shape. Plus, you got a game with Texas State left and a game with Louisiana Monroe. Those are going to be this week. But then the only four games remaining are a home-and-home with South Al and a home-and-home with Louisiana. So all in all, and compared to the rest of the teams, I think the Eagles are sitting pretty good. Dima, what say you?
Yeah, I agree. And also a note about Louisiana is they still have to play Troy in between both of those Southern Miss games. So that's just a rough road when you got to play Southern Miss on the road. Then you got to play Troy, who's, like you said, on the top, and then play Southern Miss again. So I agree with that really it'll come down to those two games. But also, they got to take care of business against UL Monroe and Texas State, because if they don't take care of business there, you can pretty much forget it, I think. So you got to take care of home business this week, and you really hope you can get one of the road games at South Al or Louisiana. You don't have to get both of them, but just one of them would just be huge, preferably against Louisiana, as you're saying.
Luke?
Dima, we have on occasion seen this basketball team just say, where are you? You know, the Troy game comes to mind. The Georgia Southern game comes. Those are a while back, for sure. But, you know, the Texas State game, we were talking to Coach Cardone yesterday. Texas State shot 7 threes in that game, only hit one. And you still, you know, lose that one. And so has there been something where, you know, that little hiccup emerges? Do you think there's something there, or it's just it was a bad day in the gym?
Well, I think, first of all, I would say that the Sun Belt basketball in general is very competitive. I really do echo Ladner's sentiment when he tells us that anybody can win on any given day, and it's very difficult to go on the road in the Sun Belt basketball. But also, I would also say that Sun Belt basketball is just, I mean, basketball in general is just as much as a mental sport as it is a, you know, how well you're shooting and how good you're playing defense. There's been a lot of off-court things happening with Southern Miss basketball that really gets in the way. I mean, I played basketball for my entire high school. Not saying I was any level of Southern Miss basketball, but I know that when you have off-court things, it really does affect your daily routine. Yeah. It affects this thing. It just affects it. And it can affect how well you shoot on a certain day. You know, you're coming down the court at home, and you're looking over to your bench, and you see Juan Cardona. You don't see Jade Ladner. And then it reminds you, oh, that's because of, you know, everything that happened with that. And so, you know, it's just as much as a mental game. So you really hope that they can lock in over the next couple weeks. And they really don't have to do that much. They put themselves in a good position, even with all of their deficiencies in some of those games they probably should have won.
That's a great point you bring up, just the off-the-court stuff. Take out Awako, take out Crowley, and partially take out Hart, because he will play a big part. Who is going to be the biggest help to those three down the stretch? And it may be somebody that we're not really talking about right now.
Yeah, I think Kobe Montgomery. I think that him, his three-point presence has got to come in some of the bigger games. You know, he's done it in the in some of the games where, you know, they were winning, but I really think that you really want his presence to hit some big shots in some of those bigger games. And you wouldn't really mind another 31-pointer from Awako again.
And a 30-pointer from AC, you know, a day before that. And those are, you know, normally when you look at a Southern Miss line score, you're looking at three, four, or five players that are in the 16, 17, 18-point range.
Right.
It's all pretty close there. But those two guys, Awako was out of his mind this past weekend. And but Austin Crowley, you know, clearly the guy here. So, and you were talking about defending the home court, and that's something that I think sometimes gets lost in our conversation, you guys. Eagles haven't lost a game at home. I mean, you talk about a team that really defends their home court well.
Right.
That's Southern Miss, man.
But and can you continue that? I mean, you just don't know.
Well, the chances are of you continuing it against Louisiana Monroe and South Al and Texas State are better than App State or Troy had to come in here.
Right. App State, yep. Is that what you said?
I did say App State this time. Yeah, the censors are texting us.
All right, Dima, we're gonna stay in touch with you as things play out, man. We really appreciate you being on the show. Now, Dima, one last thing. Take the fiance to Lenny Subs, buy her a Philly cheesesteak, and then you can call me later and thank me for the response.
I might take you up on that. How about that?
All right, my friend. Good hearing from you, Dima. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Dima Mixon, everybody, from the Student Prince. I like that kid, Kelly.
For being a student, and mm-hmm. we make fun of Gen Zers or whatever you want to, I don't know what you call them kids these days. He's mature beyond beyond his years, and is good for him.
Well, I guess everybody knows that Southern Miss Athletics Director Jeremy McClain, did I mention he's going to be on the show Friday? Announced that former Golden Eagle baseball coach Scott Berry has. Did I mention he's going to be on the show for us?
Yeah, and the fact that Jay-Z wanted to get on and you didn't.
I bumped her.
Yeah, you don't have time for him.
Bumped him. And Taylor, I don't even return her calls anymore.
And Beyonce even. You know?
Yeah, you know, I should have never gotten involved with Taylor Swift.
Somebody's blowing their horn at you in the parking lot because they're not on the show Friday.
Okay, so Scott Berry has rejoined the school as assistant athletic director for community relations. And Luke Johnson, I would say to you that you simply could not find a better person to be the associate athletic director, assistant athletic director for community relations than Scott.
I would like to have seen the negotiations, especially during deer and turkey season. There will be certain hours in his expectations that are probably blocked off. No, but he's the guy you want. I mean, he was already doing it, right? He was already in the community and on one side for the baseball program, and so now he's able to do that for the entire athletic program.
There's no question. And, you know, he's coming off. And, guys, this is the easy thing to forget about. He left this program in pretty good shape. They've had seven straight seasons of 40 wins or more, and that is numero uno in Division I college baseball. So I'm thinking he left the program in pretty good shape.
That you certainly would expect that of him in particular. But the fact that he did it, when you see all these other coaches that mysteriously leave for other jobs, knowing that there's no talent in the cupboard, for the person coming behind them. It is interesting the timing of a lot of these other coach mm-hmm. departures.
Well, Scott left the cupboard pretty full. And we can't wait for Friday afternoon. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from a baseball player. I may make a last-minute switch based on what we just heard Dima say, but we'll bring you an interview right after this.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We appreciate Dima Mixon. Like him a lot. Always welcome him on the show. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. It's a great place to hang out this weekend. I'd be at the Pete, but if you're not, you can go to 4th Street Bar and Grill. They'll have all the games on the TV. That you can be sure. And there'll always be good food and a lot of friendly Southern Miss conversation at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Kelly and I are very shameless people. Lauren Johnson happens to be in our studio in Laurel, and when she's so sweet, she always comes on and talks to us. And then Kelly and I can't control ourselves. We start peppering her with medical questions. We're always looking for something free, right, Center?
Well, at our age,
free medical advice.
We're falling apart, so. Yeah.
So Lauren graciously agreed to text us her personal phone number, and in the future when we have medical questions, we could just pass them along to her. You're good with that, right?
It's like a collect call. It will be, every question you'll get charged for it.
All right.
Lawson. We take MasterCard, Visa, and
Google Pay.
Google Pay, yeah. All right. Lawson Odom is a young man from West Jones, and I was telling you guys off air, I'm almost sure he and his dad sat with us at a game last year because, Luke, there was no other kid that came from West Jones onto the team this year, right?
That's right. He's the only one.
All right. So there's a lot of talk that as a true freshman, this young man's really competing for the catcher's job at Southern Miss. Well, Kelly talked to him last week, and we're happy to bring you this conversation with one of the newest Golden Eagles, Lawson Odom.
From the free state of Jones, West Jones, product Lawson Odom with us on the Eagle Hour. At Lawson, a freshman. This is big. I mean, West Jones high school baseball is pretty big time, but now this is college big time. Tell me about how you've made the adjustment up to now.
Really finding my routine, just sticking to it, and older guys are just helping me transition. If I have any questions or if they see me and that, like, I need help or anything, they just put in some input for me and just let me make mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah, it's a different role too, because like at West Jones or any high school team, you're the stud. You know, now you come and everybody on this team is as good, if not better, with all due respect, you know, than you are. So how do you handle that mentally?
Just how you were talking with Billy, mindset. Coach Oz is really big on mindset, so just believing in yourself. We had a quote yesterday. It was like, you're the only one that can make your ability, like, trust your ability and work with your ability, and you're the only person that can do stuff with that.
Do you find that you're able to critically look at yourself? These are my strengths, these are my weaknesses, and then be able to pick it apart? And if so, what are some of the things that you think you do especially well and some things you might want to work on?
For sure, hitting. I mean, hitting's already hard enough, and then just trying to perfect my swing and craft and mindset and approach, and that's one big thing I've had to adjust and change a little bit and then focus more on.
How is the pitching different now? And these are guys that are on your side, right? But how has the pitching been different compared to what you faced in high school?
They'll for sure find your weaknesses and throw it there until you show them that you can hit it. So just learning to hit certain pitches in certain counts. And if you get in a hitter's count, just don't always expect fastball. It could be a slider, curveball in that account too.
How do you think coming from – by the way, Trey Sutton is my neighbor. By the way, he lives right across the street from me, so we get to talk a lot of baseball. But how do you think coming from a traditionally good high school program compared to maybe not coming from one has helped you in this transition at Southern Miss?
It's helped me because Southern Miss is a winning program. I can't remember the stat on it, but they've had multiple 40-win seasons. So, I mean, transitioning from a winning mindset to another program with a winning mindset as a – not much has changed, just same mindset as I had when I was in high school.
When you talked about hitting, is there one particular pitch that you struggle with more than others? And because other teams might be listening to this, you don't have to be specific, right? But is that the case?
I mean, for sure. I mean, we have guys with really, really good stuff. And so they always say if you can hit our guys, it probably may be a little easier hitting the other opponents because our pitching staff is so good. So just things like that.
I would think that coming in as a freshman, the toughest thing to learn would be patience, because like I said, you've always been the stud, right? And now this whole team is full of studs. So is it again mental expectation?
Yeah, biggest thing is mental. If you're strong mentally, you should be able to do whatever you want to do, patience or whatever it needs to be.
Okay, let me talk about the academic side, making the transition from high school to college. What sort of difficulties have you faced, if at all?
Honestly, it's been the same thing. I took college courses in high school, so, I mean, I already knew what to expect. It's just really the bigger campus than high school.
And Lawson's kind of an unusual first name, right? Is it a family name, or is there a story behind your name?
No, it's not a family name. It's just
something they came up with, right? It works. It's unique, you know. So how good – we talked a little bit earlier about – no, you're not in the top 25, all those sorts of things, but how good do you guys think you can be? And what is the media not seeing about this team where they're not getting any love? Where if you could tell the media, you could say, you're overlooking what about this Southern Miss team?
Just how hardworking we are. I mean, I think they're missing that we're kind of like dirt bags. Like, we just play hard until the game's over with. And Coach Oz always says, sixth, seventh, eighth innings when you win ball games. So I think we're really good at that. So just winning those innings and playing hard is what people may not may overlook.
Graham Crawford said on the show last year, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, as good as that team was last year, you don't even realize how good the next guys in line are because, you know, they don't get to play. Well, a lot of those guys now are stepping up. How do you react to his analysis?
I agree. I mean, we're two or three players deep in every position that can throw just as hard, hit just as far, and run just as fast as everybody else.
Okay, so you're setting the bar. You're setting the expectation bar pretty high here, Lawson.
Yes, sir.
Well, we look forward to following your career, and thanks for your time today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Luke Johnson, you keep up with West Jones High School. Let our listeners know about this kid, Lawson Odom.
Well, a few things about him. He was, you know, an eighth grader when Dickerson was a senior. I think I did my math right on that. He was a guy that was always at the top of the order, and he took over that shortstop position from Dickerson. So when you get a West Jones guy, and I'm not just saying this because they're my high school. I'm just simply saying the coaching is extremely good. Wade Clark, who was my high school coach, he's back as just a volunteer assistant. He can coach up hitting. Of course, what Sutton brings with the IQ and the hitting and the fielding. Michael Gavin, their coaching is extremely good. And you got to remember, for about maybe a month, a year, you get Bobby Dickerson thrown in there occasionally. So I think probably guys that will come through that program that have the type of ability that Lawson does, I think some of their baseball IQ may be a little higher. And it's not just with West Jones. I mean, some of these standout programs, these guys, you know, that you feel like maybe their track, they're advanced maybe 6 months ahead, you know, when they get in, to this type of level. But he was always a guy, hustle guy, top of the order, had about a 316, 315 career average, hit a lot of RBIs, but was just one of those guys that he can be one of the best players on the field in high school, and you didn't really realize it. I mean, it's one of those guys where his absence is far more noticeable than his presence because you know what you're going to get out of him every single day.
Kelly, how unusual is that to have a kid that's so athletic? He's a starting shortstop on a really good caliber high school baseball team, but then he can transition and maybe start catching on a Division I college.
That is a salute to his athleticism physically, and it's a salute to what he's got between his ears. And did you guys pick up where he said, when I was talking about the academic transition, he said, well, I've been taking advanced placement courses for a while. Right. So obviously this kid's got it between the ears too. And look, the catching position is the quickest way to the major leagues. I mean, nobody wants to catch, right? The competition isn't as fierce. I mean, it's still obviously fierce at that level. But I'm just saying, if you want to play in the bigs, the catching position is where you want to be. And if this guy can start as a freshman and perform and lock down the middle of an infield, which is where the strength of any team is going to be, is up the middle, right? Extraordinary for a freshman to be given that responsibility. We'll see how he responds, if indeed he winds up being the starter.
So undoubtedly, too, you're going to have more than one kid catch. We sure know you can't do that. So the team appears to be deep at that position, too, guys.
Yeah, I think we're not talking about the depth at catcher because there's not experience at catcher. But I think, to your point, Bob, the catcher position is deep because of the talent that's there.
Yeah.
If this were another position, you know, we might be talking about it, you know, a little more. I do think that whoever takes it, whether it's Odom, Stockman, Crawford, they're going to have to grow into what Blake Johnson and Montenegro were, because that especially, you know, how Rodrigo ended the season last year, we were spoiled to death behind the plate. And so there will be somewhat of a learning curve there. At the same time, I do think, to your point, it's a talent deep position behind the plate.
No question. It sounds pretty good, guys.
Well, I think I'm the only one that is just saying, I have no problems with saying the expectations for this team should be really high. They're going to dime some folks this year. They're going to 10-run some folks.
I think starting this weekend.
It wouldn't be a bad start.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on the middle of the week, brought to you by DeBatt Hattiesburg, DeBattHattiesburg.com. Baseball season's here, softball season as well. It's all at DeBatt in Hattiesburg. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, a little over 48 hours away from first pitch. Southern Miss on Friday. Kelly, you got to tell me, pronounce the team that we are competing against from New York this weekend.
The Marist Red Foxes.
See, I never want to say I always want to say muh. So
yeah, that's Marist. that's what Demas called them. Marist.
They're from New York.
Marist.
Right?
Marist.
They're from New York.
And people forget we're playing Air Force on Monday. It's like it's a four game opening
that's
weekend.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
All right, lots of news and notes. Southern Miss sprinter Kingsley Unorji and DeAndre Ward, one from Nigeria, DeAndre Ward from Brandon, Mississippi. Both are the Sun Belt Indoor Track and Field Men's Track and Field Players of the Week this week. So congratulations to them. Another Southern Miss Player of the Week, Victor Iwako, Sun Belt Player of the Week. He had a pair of double-doubles against Old Dominion and Western Michigan. Against Old Dominion, 12 points, 11 rebounds, and then went off against Western Michigan, 31 points, 13 rebounds. So we're supposed to call him VI now, right? That's what the guys call him.
Well, the way he played out of his mind over the weekend, I'm calling him now Victor Iwako, because he was wacko this weekend, man.
Iwako, Sun Belt Men's Basketball Player of the Week. Golf finishes tied for seventh yesterday. Robbie Ladder and Bennett Ruby had a strong finish. They placed seventh in the 14th team event down in Mobile. And Ruby shot a 68 to complete his second round. Had a team low 69 in the final round. It was his best finish as a Golden Eagle. So Coach Brescher's guys get ready to go out. They're going to Puerto Rico at the end of this month, February 25th through the 27th. A big weekend this weekend. For Southern Miss, Super Saturday, women's basketball at 12 p.m. against Texas State. Softball hosts Missouri State at 1-3. Men's basketball caps off a doubleheader at 2:30, and then baseball against Marist at 6 p.m. There are tons of promotions, okay, like tons of them, on southernmiss.com. If you go to the men's basketball game, in the women's basketball game, you can go to both softball games for free, a two-for-one basketball deal. Free Shipley's Donuts are at the women's basketball and softball game.
Wait, what did he say? What did he say?
Yeah, I said it.
What did he say?
Free donuts.
Shipley Donuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Not as good as Mobe Beignet Beignets, but.
No, of course not.
Super Saturday. Super Saturday. So, all right. In the Southern Bancorp Studios with me now, the medical professional of the Eagle Hour, Lauren Johnson, is joining us. So do not ask anything that would embarrass you on air, guys.
No, but you can call. Let me give you the number. You can call now, and Lauren will give us some free medical advice in the last 2.5 minutes of the show.
Man, the golf team getting to go to Puerto.
Wait a minute. Oh. Lauren's trying to talk, Kelly.
Oh, sorry.
What were you saying, Lauren?
I said, what's in this for me?
Our endearing love, Lauren. How does that sound?
I thought I already had that.
Well, you do, actually. You do.
Thank you. You do.
Interestingly, that's the same thing she said to Luke when he asked her to marry him.
What's in it for me?
Bob, yesterday, by the way, yesterday, Kelly asked what I had got Lauren, and I said, well, because of the jabs that I take on this show with the gravy train, he should have asked what Lauren got for me.
What did you get him, Lauren?
I got him a card and a framed picture of me and Nola.
Yeah, we talked about Nola Monday. We did. We honored Nola. Yeah.
What did he give you, dear?
He gave me a very sweet card, a Starbucks gift card, and some candy. And we went to lunch. We went to dinner last night. We had lunch today.
You said very sweet. Could you share with our audience an example of how romantic Luke can be, Lauren? Not we have you on the show.
I mean, I don't want to get too gushy, but he's very sweet.
Oh, is he?
Always very sweet to me.
I wrote two sentences. Kelly Sander could take note. I could help him.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me get a pen.
You want to share it? Go ahead. Sure.
No, I just told her I loved her. This is what I told her when I proposed to her in The Rock. I just told her I loved her.
Yeah. Even though you did postpone that a week because of a loss.
Okay, would you have proposed after losing in the last minute of a game?
Well, I don't know. With Lauren, maybe so. Yeah, that might have taken precedent over the game.
The line, though, and she'll remember this, the line earlier in the year was, I played so much golf with Darren McCaleb this year, I won't be able to buy you a ring. That's the actual line.
And as we look out in the studio, the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, I look out, there happens to be a grocery store nearby. And
they're just rolling the flowers.
These out. Dead men walking, you know, in and out of the store with flowers.
So, Lauren, as a producer of this show, let me just tell you, if I haven't told you before, at any point you would like to replace Luke as the co-host, all you have to do is give me the word.
That's good to know, Bob.
I'm sure you'll want to give up your medical profession to be on the Eagle Hour. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah, but I think Luke is much better than me. I would not be much help to y'all at all.
Hey, you guys got like 10 seconds if you want to sneak in a medical question.
But you're the person I'm gonna call next time I'm feeling achy and tired.
You absolutely can, Bob.
Hey, Lauren, happy Valentine's Day, dear.
Happy Valentine's Day to y'all.
One of the sweetest people on the planet.
Last time I went to a doctor, he gave me 6 months to live. I couldn't pay my bill. He gave me another 6 months.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
But
Kelly may not,
folks,
but the rest of us will. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Kids are slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.